Hey, Top Chef fans, welcome back to Pack Your Mics. It's been so long. How have you been? Yeah? Yeah? Well, that's amazing. Well, I hope to hear all about it soon. We are looking forward to talking about Top Chef Boston coming up here in a little bit. And we are going to record an all-group episode about Top Chef duels at some point. We just haven't been able to get everybody together at the same time. But Chris and Tanya watched episode one, Blaze versus Marcel, and they were so excited, they were so giddy, they couldn't but record their own episode right now. So enjoy this mini bonus episode, just Chris and Tanya talking about season one, episode one of Top Chef Duels, and look forward to more from you. As always, packyourmics.com if you've got any feedback. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a secret late summer surprise edition of Pack Your Mics. It's Chris here with Tanya, and we just saw the first episode of Top Chef Duels, the summer series replacement for Top Chef Masters, and we just couldn't help but talk about it with you guys.
Yeah, also, hi, and surprise!
Yeah, how was your year?
Oh my gosh, it's been so long. Also, you look great.
Summer treats you well.
Summer treats everyone well.
Yeah. So, Tanya, we just saw Top Chef Duels.
Top Chef Duels, which is sort of like Chopped Chef, Top Chef.
It is like Chopped Chef,
it's Top sort
Chef.
Of, and I think, I mean, okay, so...
Who is this duel between?
Oh, geez. Yeah. So episode one is Richard Blaze versus...
Marcel.
Marcel, whose last name we never knew before, but now we all have to learn how to say it.
Yeah, we won't, though.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So Marcel and Richard face off.
Yeah.
Or Marcel and Blaze, as they were known in their tenure.
Yeah.
In the various Top Chef seasons from which they originated.
Yeah. And the first thing they do is, like, they have a quick fire type thing where they each do a challenge that they design and a challenge that the other person designs.
Yeah. So each one of them sort of assigns the both of them a challenge. So the Marcel designed challenge, which was really hokily represented by these, like, bowls with, like, plastic props in them.
Yay, production.
Was a super hot dish and a super cold dish. So they both did some... and his stipulation was that this is not a savory dish, it's a dessert.
So you gotta make something that has dessert that has both hot and cold on the same plate.
Hot and cold dessert. If I were doing that, I mean, I don't even know what I would come up with. I mean,
lava cake with vanilla ice cream on the side.
Could you heat a pie and then maybe put, what would you even put on it that would be super cool? Anyway, this was a little derivative. So... that was Marcel's challenge, And then Blaze's challenge, but at the end of each challenge, there's one victor, and the victor gets $10,000.
Like themselves, it's not for dogs helping other dogs.
Dogs find dogs to attack
no,
other
it's
dogs.
For their
with.
Pockets.
No, it's for it's just lining their pockets, going right into the old bank vault, just Scrooge McDuckin' it.
Yep.
All the way home. So.
So who wins the first challenge, Tanya?
So the winner of the first challenge was not its designer, Marcel, but instead Richard took
home.
Yeah,
so they both did pineapple and coconut challenges.
Yeah.
But Marcel's looked messy and awful, and Richard's looked better, but also messy and
they
awful.
Both, I mean, and really anytime you're doing like a sea of frozen yummy time, I feel like things get messier looking, and everyone's fine with that as like a plating situation.
Yeah.
But I think Marcel's was less... successful in its elements. Specifically, he had this like microwave pistachio
cashew cake.
I knew it was a nut. Cashew cake that nobody liked. Just nobody liked it. Oh, and this actually brings us to an important point. Our judges for Top Chef Duels.
It was Curtis Stone was the head judge and host. Mm-hmm. And then there was the return of Gale, and also Wolfgang Puck.
So Curtis comes in flanked by beautiful alien Gale Simmons and tiny Austrian sprite Wolfgang Puck.
He is like a tiny pixie.
He is a tiny pixie. And later on, he referred to his teeth. And for some reason, that really made me chuckle.
Wow. Pixies don't have teeth.
Pixies have, like, teeth in, like, little points.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So anyway, the second challenge.
Not to be confused with Mr. Wolfgang Puck, who just has a line of soups that are only okay.
Yeah. Also, he has teeth.
Well, yeah, he also has teeth. Wolfgang Puck, not toothless.
Yeah.
Important
so
to remember.
The other challenge, Richard's challenge, was predictable. A little bit. It was a burger challenge, and Richard has 4 burger restaurants out of his 7 restaurants.
Richard thought, why do a challenge when you can do a billboard for your 7 nationwide restaurants?
Yeah, so,
7 restaurants. Blaze has 7 restaurants.
Isn't that crazy?
This will bring me to a point that I'd like to make later about the show overall.
Okay. So they do the burger challenge, and Marcel makes a burger he calls the Dirty Girl. That is messy and has a runny egg and avocado and a bunch of other stuff.
You guys, I know that we've all spent a lot of years, like, loudly proclaiming that we're afraid of clowns and how, like, how we hate the word, like, moist or whatever. I'm going to add a new thing to the list.
What?
I hate the phrase dirty girl.
Really?
I hate it. I hate it so much. The first time he said it, when he was like, I call my burger the dirty girl, I immediately felt clammy and uncomfortable.
And started rooting for Richard.
Despite
Richard's crazy face making.
Yeah, and oh, and there's something. Yeah, we should. We'll save that for sort of generalized comments.
So,
but yeah, so okay, so Marcel makes this burger called the Dirty Girl. It has everything on it, including an egg.
And Richard makes a burger that's basically like a bacon cheeseburger that has some great ketchup on the side and some really good onion rings.
I think there's sriracha in the ketchup.
Kimchi.
Oh, kimchi and the ketchup.
Yep, and it turns out Marcel wins because Richard's burger was a little overdone, and Marcel's burger was, I guess, a beautiful mess.
Just had everything on it that anyone could ever want on a burger. I think that was Gail's compliment to it.
Yeah.
She also seemed not perturbed by the phrase "dirty girl," but I implore everyone to be perturbed. I'm sorry, it can't just be me. If anyone else feels like the phrase "dirty girl" is a problem,
yeah,
just feel free to reach out.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay, so they've split the $10,000 challenge. And the big challenge for the main one, unless you'd want to get into larger points now.
No. Let's go to the main.
Okay, so the main challenge is they both know that Marcel and Blaze are pretty creative, so they want to play with the senses. So they do a 3-course meal. The first course has to be visually really interesting and fool you, so something that looks like something but tastes like something else. The second course, the judges eat blindfolded, and it's all about smell and playing with aroma. And then the third course is a dessert course, and it's about texture and the different textures that you can play with. And so for the first course, Marcel makes the bone marrow thing out of hearts of palm with a mushroom posing as a scallop, and everybody thinks it's really good.
And the bone marrow the faux bone marrow had a pate hiding in it. It had
as though it were stuffed.
Yeah,
you know, like stuffed bone
was
marrow.
Was it pate or mousse? I think maybe it was a mousse because the pate was a cherry.
Oh, right. And Richard made this crazy thing that looked like cherries with some other great stuff going on, but they were actually made of chicken liver pate, or chicken liver mousse, sorry, that was then coated in a cherry gelée and, like, given a stem of dehydrated vanilla, and it definitely fooled judges more than Marcel's.
And visually, it was very exciting to look at because it really did look like a cherry.
Yeah, but
taste-wise,
the judges might have preferred Marcel's.
Still not a podcast by people who know food. We've definitely just made mousse and pate interchangeable, and I apologize.
Yeah, but chicken liver mousse is a mousse.
Right, but we just don't know which one. There was something smeared inside the hearts of palm that was posing as bone marrow, and we don't know what that substance was.
Listen, we watch TV.
Certainly wasn't cocaine.
Yeah. probably not cocaine.
don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, so the second course. Why don't you tell them about the second course?
So the second course was an olfactory...
Oh, wait, before we even get there.
Oh.
Which first course did you like better?
I liked the cherry concept better.
Okay.
I thought that
me
was
too.
More interesting.
Okay. So course two.
So course two was an olfactory journey. Sniffers were used and blindfolds were applied. So the judges were all blindfolded. They each brought out dishes. And then there was sort of this scent based introduction. That led into the meal overall. So Marcel did kind of a two-parter.
With like a seafood thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it opened with this rich seafood experience. And I think the smell, the scent of that was basically dead on. It was just, this is the smell of the...
Doesn't seafood soup smell
doesn't
great?
Doesn't seafood soup smell super great, you guys? And then he had what ended up being, I think, his kind of his undoing, which was this sort of intermission smell that was supposed to be kind of an intro to a Tom Kha soup. And so, but... So he had, like, you know, kaffir lime and lemongrass, but the main note that he added that wasn't present in the soup was this, like, menthol scent, and nobody liked it. It was off-putting to everyone.
It smelled like a sauna or a shower.
Or a hospital or cigarettes or medicine. Yeah, people just didn't jive
with it. But people love the seafood soup. Like, they thought it was, like, far and away.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good.
Yeah.
And then Richard's second course was where he had cherry wood smoke under a dome, and you release that and it smells like cherry wood smoke. And then his dish was like some duck and some fresh made pasta noodles
and some porcini mushrooms.
And porcini mushrooms. And I think people thought the mushrooms were a little weak. They couldn't really get that taste.
They didn't get the smell.
Yeah.
So they thought that that would be one of the smells that they got. Yeah. But they really got just the smoke.
Yeah.
And that was about it. And also, I think Fairy Sprite Wood Gang Pook. Wood Gang Pook also wished that his duck pieces were bigger so he could taste the flavor of the duck more.
Yeah.
And then...
Instead it was more like a ragu or like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you want to go into dessert?
Oh, yeah. Dessert was... So Marcel did this crazy dragon fruit thing that had, like, ice cream and a ton, like, 25 different components and textural components in it.
And I just... It's so rare. Unless you're Susser Lee, it's so rare for someone to say, like, my dish has 25 components. And for that to be a good thing, it's just really... It's not... usually a good sign.
Although Richard's had an almost equal number of components. He did this chocolate Black Forest thing that had like cherry and coffee and this like log with all these different things in it, including Pop Rocks.
Well, Pop Rocks. It wasn't just, he didn't just
it was
empty
like,
a,
no, literally he, Pop Rocks.
No, he did. He made the equivalent of Pop Rocks.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's what he was saying, is that it has, you know, it has all this crunch and all this like sort of zazzle.
I thought he just dumped in Pop Rocks brand Pop Rocks.
I'm sure he didn't do that.
Okay.
I feel like there's no way he did that without us spending a lot of time talking about that. They can't even buy their own, like, pasta without people being like, wait.
Yeah.
From whence did this spring? Anyway.
Well, they did get two sous chefs, so they really should be making their own Pop Rocks.
Oh, and that's something
I mean, one of them is sous chef Pop Rocks, so...
I mean, who could forget sous chef Pop Rocks and his skateboard and his backwards baseball cap?
Hey, guys. Opens his mouth and it sounds like applause.
And his explosive relationship with sous chef Diet Coke.
Yeah. Oh,
or,
man.
No, I'm thinking of Mentos.
You are thinking of Mentos.
But what are you not supposed to put Pop Rocks in? Is
also
it also
Coke.
Diet Coke?
Yeah.
It's just regular Coke?
Any Coke.
I guess Mentos and Diet Coke are like the diet version of explosive candy soda combinations.
Anyway, so what we're trying to say is it was a crazy little meal. And it got judged, and it seemed like it was pretty close in this one, because people really liked the flavor of Marcel's first course better than the flavor of Richard's, even though Richard's was, like, the most visually fooling.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought Marcel won the second course pretty well, hands down, because his...
You're talking about Richard?
No, Marcel won the second course, because his seafood soup was so good, and Richard's duck pasta thing was, like, fine. You know? And then the dessert was sort of a toss-up. There were different things going on with each, but Richard probably edged out on the dessert. So it came down to, like, gut feeling, I think. And, like, I feel like Richard had a style. He had something that he was going for. Like, he had a theme. His dishes were fairly connected.
Yeah, they were narratively.
And Marcel was just, like, schizophrenically all over the map.
Which, you know, I think in terms of the overall, like, storytelling that this show has done about these two chefs is pretty consistent, actually.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Richard has been a hero for the show for a long time. Marcel has been a villain. Richard wound up pulling this one out and winning it. But Marcel really, I thought, proved himself, because I think people had discounted, like, been, like, talented, but no vision or just other stuff about Marcel in the past.
And I guess, emotionally, I always felt like Marcel was given the talented but a dick overall title. And that was more of
But, like,
his...
where's the soul sort of deal.
Yeah, well, and I guess, and I think that's what people like to ask about molecular gastronomy. Although I feel like that storyline is also getting tired just as that particular strain of culinary arts gets more and more popular. It's harder and harder to just say, but where's the soul?
Like, yeah.
There's a certain amount of creativity and whimsy and really interesting thinking that goes into molecular gastronomy, and I feel like even the show has been forced to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
As time has gone on. Yeah. So, you know, I think the more that we've seen Marcel kind of coming back again and again, the more the sting has been taken out of his persona.
Yeah. I mean, he's still, I think the editing cast him as more of a villain than he necessarily needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
With all, like, you know, showing Richard talking down on him for talking down to his sous chef.
Well, and that's a larger thing that's interesting to note about this show is that there's kind of more room for the chefs to kind of trash talk each other a little bit.
Which I like, and Tanya, I think, feels differently about. But I don't like the posturing, being like, oh man, I'm so great. But I do like hearing the chef's opinion of the other chef's choices as far as a dish or of anything else, to be like, why are you doing that? This is so much a better idea. And you get the chef brain dissecting the chef decision. And that's one thing that I really like about Top Chef. Like when Richard was criticizing Marcel's first course, he said, oh, I mean, like, anybody can take a stem of mushroom and pretend it's a scallop. I'm doing something more challenging, and I think my dish is better here, you know?
And I think I have sort of an overall mentality approaching any Top Chef entity that feels more like, I don't know. I guess maybe it's this time of year, so I'm feeling ready for some, like, Top Chef Masters, like, overall even-handedness.
Kumbaya, or,
like,
everybody.
Kumbaya,
hug.
Teamwork, we're all here for the dog charity, that kind of thing. and so it feels funny to me to suddenly be in this space where, you know, everybody's, there's just more, there's sort of weird, like, backbiting.
Yeah.
And also, we know these people, and it's so much more, there's so much more zing when a chef that you are trying to get to know says something catty about another chef's dish than when a chef that you know, like, you know, has now made a living, like, opening 7 restaurants and, like, smiling as he steps out of cars that are, like, apparently impeccably designed. Like, it's a different thing for him to then turn around and be like, eh, mushroom looks like a scallop. Nobody thought of that before. Like, it just doesn't feel as relevant.
So you feel like it's petty.
It feels a little petty for the level of people that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And also, it's just, this is the thing that I wanted to talk about overall. I feel like as much as Top Chef has made Blaze their golden boy, he was born of a certain injustice, and now that that wrong has been righted in the form of him winning Top Chef All-Stars.
And he's been on, like, Chopped. He's been on, like, a ton of food TV.
Everywhere. I feel like that battle has been won, and it's super weird to just keep trotting him back out as though we're still wishing he could get a win under his belt.
Yeah.
Because now that he's won, I don't know. I feel like
this is
where Alex would start talking about skinny Blaze and how he makes him really uncomfortable. And I, for a long time, I didn't want to have to agree with Alex on that because I just thought, like, oh, he just looks different. It's fine. But he is different. He's a winner now. And it's harder to just default to him. It's not that he's not still pretty much likable. It's just that he's not the same guy that we really just wanted to have get this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
seen so many people since him. There are so many more talented people. And also, I think we've just, like, I mean, it's hard. It's not like you reset it every season. Like, we're building a knowledge of chef personality. We're building a knowledge of the chef community with every season that we watch, with every Top Chef Masters season that we see. We're getting a better understanding of, like, what it is to work in this industry. And so people like Blaze don't feel like this, like, rare gemstone in the darkness, and how will they ever get their day? He has a day in the sun. It's lasting for quite some time. Sometimes it would be fine if someone like Marcel were to take away a win.
Yeah.
That could be totally okay.
I mean, Marcel took away one of the $10,000 prizes. I felt like it was
sure
a pretty even fight.
Yeah.
Like, the end battle, like, of the 3-course meal felt like an even fight. Richard barely eked it out. I don't think it was on merit of his narrative at all.
No. I'm not saying that they just handed it to the golden boy. I'm sure he cooked the better meal. I'm just saying that, like, there was something about this that felt less satisfying as an overall.
Do you miss the faux hawk?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Richard doesn't have a faux hawk anymore, guys.
Yeah, no. He's looking pretty... no, I mean, he just looks like a professional dude. He has a weird, like, compulsive frowning thing that he seems to do a
lot.
And
actually, like, wincing.
And sort of a wincing, but I think... And it's sort of like... It's like a listening face turned up too high, and then he just does it if he's, like, focusing on a dish or listening to a comment or, like, thinking about how to, you know, do a challenge. Like, it just is constantly coming on and off, and
right.
It's really distracting. I don't know what's going on with that, but I hope that somebody... I hope his media trainer sends him a little email about that.
Yeah. Okay, so overall, thoughts on Top Chef Duel so far? Are you interested to see what's coming down?
I'm... Yeah, in the sense that, like, it's sort of like watching... it's sort of like rewatching a movie because you want to, like, revisit with those characters. So, like, I'm excited to spend more time with people like Shirley.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see, you know, I'm excited to see Kristen in action in this format again.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of stuff I think is going to be super fun.
Yeah.
I feel like my joke about it being sort of, like, Chopped is something that I'm having a hard time getting used to. I think I'm used to just the longer arc and the stakes being stretched out over multiple
yeah.
episodes
yeah.
and having everything set up and knocked out in one episode is really feeling pretty choppy to me.
It feels a little rushed. I mean, we're used to Top Chef having narrative and for us to be involved ourselves as an audience in building that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And Duel seems to, like, build it for us and then resolve it every single episode.
Well, and also I think it's the structure of the challenges too. Like, they're building a challenge, executing a challenge, judging a challenge, and resolving a challenge several times over. Like, this happens twice
right.
in the beginning, and then we have this, like, multi-course...
It's like two quick fires and a main event.
Two quick fires and a main event in 40-something minutes, which
yeah.
is brisk. I mean, that is really brisk, and it's really hard to settle into any kind of a rhythm where you feel like, oh, like, I wonder what's going to happen, or I wonder, like, ooh, like, this leads me to think this, but this leads me to think that. Like, there's just no time.
Yeah. But at the same time, for a fun summer show where it's sort of like All-Stars and there's a little bit of a different format... Like, I get why they did it, and I think it's going to be fun to watch.
I feel
watch.
Like you're uncomfortable with how hard I'm coming down on several aspects of the show.
Yeah.
I can it's see still, you, like,
still,
just so you guys know, I can see Chris, like, sort of wiggling in his chair, like, I don't know
what
if I wanted it to come out like this.
Well, you're on a roll, and I didn't want to interrupt your roll, but I wanted to add my own
yeah,
opinion.
Yeah, so Chris, take us to the lighter side, Mr. There's Too Many Chefs on My TV. Now,
well,
there's only two chefs
there's
on your
only,
TV.
There's literally only two chefs on my TV, and that's great, and it's, you know, just for a little, a fun, light little, this is almost like an amuse, you know, this is like a little starter course leading us into the fall, and this is you know, we get to see some people that we're familiar with cooking new challenges, and I'm pretty excited for what's coming up next. Next is it's Shirley versus was it who was it? Now that we're recording.
She has a sleek little ponytail and
yeah.
a pointy face.
Yes.
I can see her in my mind's eye. Maybe her name starts with an N.
It does not.
Is it Natalie?
No.
No.
It doesn't.
My
ass. Stall for a sec while I use the internet.
Nendley. Maybe it's Natalia. Natalie Imbruglia. I'm sure that it's Natalie Imbruglia. Is it, it's, and it can't be, it's, what is her name? Simone. Is it
Brooke.
Simone?
It's Brooke.
Oh, gosh, it's Brooke. I'm sorry, Brooke. You're not as memorable as Shirley.
You know what? Brooke actually did awesome in her season, and I remember really liking Brooke.
Well,
so.
I remember you not remembering Brooke's name just now.
Well, I liked. But no, I remember.
As did I.
I remember liking Brooke.
Face.
She was no Whitney, all right?
Oh, you, yeah, and all of you who just were like, who's Whitney? Exactly that.
She was a contestant on one of the Top Chef seasons a few seasons back. She was shown in two scenes, except for, and then, like, two more scenes on the single episode that she was cut.
Yeah.
She was just, like, completely below the radar and then cut.
And then suddenly gone.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, I guess that's, well, wait, who? Yeah. So, and sorry, Whitney, if you, like, had a bunch of deleted scenes where a bunch of stuff happened to you and we just all missed it.
Dude.
But I feel like, It's true.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's really true.
Well, okay, guys. We're going to probably talk more about Top Chef Duels as it comes around, hopefully with a larger group.
Yeah. We have. I mean, we're going to twist some arms and hopefully come back to you with more voices on more episodes.
Yeah. We know it's not Pack Your Mics unless there are too many people on the mic.
Unless there are just too many people on the microphone. Chefs on the TV, too many people on the microphone.
Yeah, too many podcasters on that microphone.
Indeed. But so, hopefully this wasn't entirely horrifying to anyone.
And hopefully you're doing well.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I mean, we got to learn more about your year.
Yeah. And I know we're like a week late at watching Top Chef Duels, but schedules are what they are. So let us know what you think about the summer season so far. And let us know who you're excited to watch on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/packyourmics, or on Twitter. We're packyourmics on Twitter. And we hope to hear from you soon. So more to come, but there you go.
Yeah, so this was Tanya.
And this was Chris. And I had a good run.
You did. You did. I guess I'm deleting you.
Okay.
It's time for Chris to pack his mics.
Okay, I'm going to pack my mics. Bye, guys.
Bye.